Well, once again, my colleague has upstaged the finance committee with his academic slides and wonderfulness, and all we've got to talk about is boring numbers. But we do have some grade. We did get a good grade.
We didn't bring a dog in.
You didn't do that. You got close, though. You had an eagle.
Yeah.
A picture of an eagle.
You can ask to see the cost of the rental.
We're going
to
bring in spacecraft next time, the Challenger or something. But we do have a consent agenda, and so without any further ado, we have. I'm looking at the number. Excuse me, just a minute. We have three action items, which we have met in committee, and we put that before the board in a consent arrangement. If there is not some that need to be taken out, I put that before the chair as our recommendations.
Move for approval of action items per the consensus.
Second.
So I would like to call for the question. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? And Mr. Chairman, that's my report.
Okay. President Ransom, we'll move to your report.
Calculator. Two items that we want to discuss, and I will ask, and we will go into executive session for a update on legal matters. But I would like to ask Robin Taylor to come forward. We're just underway early in the 2014 Kentucky General Assembly, but I thought it'd be helpful for you all to get some update, and including the governor's budget address on Tuesday.
Well, it has begun, as they say. And I mean, this week it's in full swing now that we have the governor's budget recommendation. Obviously, we've been looking at legislation since late fall when it began to be pre-filed, but the budget is clearly the thing that we become quickly most interested in. I'll go through just a few things on as it relates to the higher ed budget, and probably couldn't answer a lot of questions beyond that. We've only had a couple of days to study the numbers, and appreciate Ann Mead taking the lead on putting together this one pager that you have in front of you as I was running the halls of Frankfort yesterday and not near a computer. But there are, as you all know, I'm sure you all have heard, and we've mentioned it here a couple of times, a 2.5% spending reduction proposed for higher education institutions. The CPE was recommended for a 5% budget reduction. For us, that's, as you see here, about $1.8 million in 2015 with with a flat funding in 2016. One of the things that the governor's office and the Office of State Budget Director did do that we asked them to do, and we're very grateful that they did this, is they funded half of the retirement obligation. As you know, pension reform has been has been a major initiative. They did that last year in a special session, and there are still some other pension issues on the agenda this year. But the main thing is to fully fund the ARC. And that is an obligation that we don't get funded by the state typically, and because it is about a 38% increase for us, they opted to fund half of that, which is for us about $1.3 million. So that's very helpful. The way I understand it is they add it in, then they take the 2.5% cut off our base, and then what's left. But the money would come into our budgets. That only affects the comprehensive universities. UK and U of L do not participate in KERS. And it does only apply to KERS. We still are obligated to fully fund the increase in KTRS. And as I understand it, the pension reform did not cover KTRS either, just KERS. So anyway, this is a win, and we will really, really hope to keep that in as we move forward. We also have the governor proposed $2 million in the second year of the biennium to fund an expansion of 80 students to the Gatton Academy. This is something that we asked for. This is something that some of you helped with, and we really appreciate that. As I think you all know, we have an opportunity with private funds to do a building expansion, but the caveat to that is the state has to fund the additional students. And students come with the Gatton Academy, and they come at full tuition, paid, room and board paid. So that is the state's obligation, and the governor has been a very big supporter of our efforts with the Gatton Academy, twice the number one high school in America. And I spoke yesterday with Derek Graham, who is the chairman of the House Education Committee, and he is very supportive, very pleased to see this in there. And I'm hopeful that it will go through without any issue. But we will be up there talking to lots of legislators about this. The Commonwealth College, I think you've heard a little bit from the provost on this as we've talked about some of the things in the budget recommendation. Commonwealth College is an initiative to do online education for adult learners. It's it would engage a number of universities and be run through the CPE. A lot to be determined on that. They did not, through the governor's budget request or proposal, fund it fully, but they do fund enough of it to get it underway. And so we just, at this point, don't know how that impacts us, but I can say that Gordon has been extremely engaged in writing this proposal, and so WKU will indeed be a player with our ability and everything we've already achieved in online education. So anyway, that's another thing that I think a number of folks in the legislature are supportive of, but we have a long way to go. A couple of other things. The governor recommends funding for Bucks for Brains. You know, when that was initially funded after higher ed, in the higher ed reform bill in 1997, following 1998, Bucks for Brains was funded with cash. It has since been funded through bonds, and this is a bond proposal as well. $50 million would benefit the University of Kentucky and the University of Louisville, and the comprehensive universities would share in the $10 million for the Comprehensive Universities Excellence Trust Fund. So our portion of that, we think, is about $2.4 million. Something that is an initiative that KCTCS did go to the governor and request, and is certainly a unique approach for them, is to allow them to initiate agency bond projects on all of their 16 campuses. And my understanding, and I talked with them yesterday, and this is, I guess, in the budget, they would be supported by an $8 per hour, per credit hour fee to students. I mean, as you know, when we do an agency bond, it's through a revenue, it's through some sort of revenue generation. Lots of times that's a student fee. Lots of times that's through other revenues, dining, housing, whatever. But they are going to be able to do this with a student fee. Heretofore have not been able to issue agency bond projects. And those would have a 25% match, I think, with local communities. So anyway, interesting approach on KCTCS, and certainly pleased for them. Doesn't impact us one way or the other. The governor did recommend some general fund projects, which, you know, obviously we are happy about. That would be the Thompson Complex Center Wing, which would complete our science campus renovation program that we've been trying to get underway since 2002. We've completed a number of projects. This is the final one. It's a $48 million project. It's a different approach in the governor's budget than what the CPE request was. The CPE request was for a pool of bond funds that we would be able to basically get a percentage of those funds, and we would be able to fund a little more than just this project. They chose to fund individual projects in the governor's budget request, and I'm not surprised by that. I think by and large legislators and politicians want to know what they're funding, and that's certainly the feedback that I have received through the years. And as we had tried this initiative a couple years ago, that was again kind of their feedback. They were interested in individual projects, not bond pools. But we get what we asked for, and so we're happy about that if it remains in the budget going forward. Some campuses get a little more than we do, but this was our number one priority, and that's what they chose to do. There are $700 million in agency bond funds for universities as well. We have a couple of projects in that list, and I think we're still discussing and massaging how those move forward, if those move forward, but they're on the list. What I'd like to say about the budget at this point is that this is the first step. I think the president uses a baseball analogy about this is the first inning. Maybe we're through an inning and a half, but anyway, we have a long way to go, and you know this isn't going to. I think the governor did a good job in his budget presentation. I think that there are going to be a lot of people looking at doing things a little differently on both the House and the Senate side. The debt is certainly something that is going to be a conversation in play. The Senate is already, you know, really looking at the debt that this budget contains. So I think we have a long way to go. We have had very positive conversations with a number of legislators about trying to minimize the reduction to higher ed. And while I would never sit here and predict anything to you, I would tell you that we're working hard on that and we have some support, and we'll just have to see how that plays out. But that's what we're aiming for, is to minimize the reduction. And obviously to keep the capital at a level that helps us get our project done. And the agency bond projects, that'll be interesting, particularly because there's a lot in there. UK's proposing to do a lot with agency bonds on their campus as well. And so is the University of Louisville. A lot of campuses have a lot of agency bonds in this bill. The Senate has, I'm going to go through some of the major priorities, but the Senate's major priority is a debt cap bill. As you may or may not know, they've always sort of operated on a 6% debt cap limit, but it's never been statutory, and the Senate's trying to make it statutory. But their bill it exempts agency bonds for universities. So we'll see how that plays out as we move this process forward. So that gives you a little bit of a sense of higher ed. That's really, I mean, I don't think I can go into a lot more detail. If you want to ask some questions, I could try. But this is kind of what we know 2 days after the governor's budget presentation right now. As far as major initiatives in play, we're monitoring a good bit of legislation, have a couple of things that we're working with. I met with the legislator yesterday to talk about modifying a bill. He was very open to that. Not a big deal, but just something that we think is probably important to do. It's a labor statistics kind of bill, but we want to make sure that we appropriately communicate information about jobs and employment and career fields, that sort of thing. And he was very open to that. A couple of tuition waiver bills, we've been addressing those as well. A couple of opportunities to delay those, and people understand that we're already under a lot of financial strain, and that tuition waivers add to that. But a couple things, and that may or may not affect us. Well, they will affect us, but they're bigger than us, as the term that I like to use, that we're not going to be big players in whether these major priorities from House and Senate leadership play out. But we do watch them and try to make sure that we know how they're moving. Speaker Stumbo's House Bill 1 is the minimum wage increase. Calculated what that would mean to us, and I don't have that number off the top of my head, but
$19,000.
Okay.
Minimum wage is increased as proposed. It would cost us $419,000.
Okay, so we're tracking that again. That's going to be an issue that plays out well above how it impacts us. It'll impact all of state government, and so we just track that and our bit players. House Bill 2 is the Cole County Scholarships Bill. We do care a lot about that bill because it does impact students in the area of the Owensboro campus, and there are opportunities there for students to attend the Owensboro campus with Cole County Scholarships because it is a coal-producing county, and the governor did fund that in his budget. So that bill has been up a couple of times and has failed to get all the way through. But it has some momentum. There's a pilot project that just includes the eastern coal counties, and we're, again, hoping to get that expanded. And then there's a cybersecurity bill that's Adam Edlund's bill. It passed out of committee yesterday. It's a bipartisan bill. I have no doubt that bill's going to fly right out of the House, and I'm sure that it will have momentum in the Senate as well. It's basically a personal information security bill Freddie, you may know a little bit more about it than I do, but it just impacts how we have to notify people if there's been a breach. All the recent stuff, you know, has kind of made this a bigger issue. And we're looking at that. And on the Senate side, the debt bill that I just mentioned to you has a good impact on us in terms of, and I say good, I mean big, on the debt side. If they limit the debt capacity to 6%, then that really, you know, affects our ability to get projects done now and in the future. And then there's a regulatory reform initiative in the Senate. I'm still kind of trying to figure out what that means. And then heroin, they passed that out this week. That's a big controlled substance bill. So those are kind of the things that are going on in the legislature. You can see how we are impacted in and out of some of those. Have tried something a little new this year, and including a number of people working with Jennifer Smith and me on legislative review. Regent Mentor is involved in that, as is the provost and several other folks. And we review legislation. We're just expanding the folks who look at that a little bit, and that's going to be appreciated, the effort to help us make sure we don't miss anything significant. I've mentioned two events to you in the past that I hope you have at least one of them on your calendar. February 6th, this is just for your information. We do the Teacher Hall of Fame, and the governor will join us for recognizing three teachers that are inducted into the Hall of Fame. Golda Walbert is one of them from Glasgow. And then February 25th is our South Central Kentucky night. It's the Chamber's sponsored reception in Frankfort. We are the, I guess, headline title sponsor. We chose to go that route, combine the efforts, do one big community one, as opposed to WKU doing their own and the Chamber doing their own, which we used to do. That is at the History Center on the evening of February 25th. I think it's probably a 6 to 8 event, but I need to confirm the time for Julia. But I do hope you have that on your calendar and can go. Those of you who are close to Frankfort, you know, will have an easier time getting there. Those who are from Bowling Green, we may have transportation through the Chamber available if you want to go. How's that? Did I miss anything?
Is there, with respect to the proposed budget cut, is there any organized effort at the CPE level or among all of the universities to be more proactive?
We are having a lot of conversation. How organized is that? Other than we're talking to one another, we've had some discussion about having the presidents all go together. Didn't get any agreement on any dates or anything yesterday. Presidents are—it's a free-for-all Freddy right now. I think everybody's up there getting around to legislative leadership to talk to them, and they're hearing from us. I saw them all yesterday.
Robin, have you heard anything just in your, as you travel around Frankfort, about what legislative responses may be or what conversations?
You know, again, I mean, the first thing we started hearing back from some folks about the 2.5% cut, to restore that is about $45 million for the biennium. It's about 22 and a half or so in each year. And so, you know, it's kind of, there's a desire to do that. Now, whether they can find the money, I mean, they're going to look through all of the health care related, you know, the federal offset of expenditures on the healthcare legislation. I mean, that's kind of a target for, we want to see how that's all there. I think the debt is the biggest issue. And as I was watching, this is sort of a new thing for me, but I followed the governor's speech. I followed Twitter all the way through. And I mean, a lot of commentary on the amount of debt in there. And that's to be expected. They did, that was the same, that's been the same theme for a while. So, I mean, I think when we get to the Senate, that'll be a challenge. I kept hearing a lot yesterday that you know, the House was largely pleased with what the governor presented, and that probably would come out of the House looking a lot the same. Mm-hmm. They'll make some tweaks, obviously, and some improvements. My experience is they always try to improve a little bit when they get to the House, and they always try to improve a little bit when they get to the Senate. Now, I've seen them not improve at all. But, you know, in the years where they you know, they have where they have a little bit to do stuff with, they try to improve. I think there's a lot of support for the K-12 initiatives. and it's going to be really, I think the K-12 initiatives are well received on both sides.
Difficult to overcome that.
I think absolutely, and I don't think we want to. I mean, you know, we all benefit with K-12 getting a bump. I mean, that's good for everybody. It's just that we'd like to be included in that, and we're working on that.
Any discussions about looking forward to the tuition cap for this next year?
Not on the legislative side. I mean, CPE is beginning their tuition work group efforts, and they'll make a decision on what tuition will be probably in April, what the tuition cap will be. But, I mean, I'm not hearing any legislative discussion about that. It's early, but I'm not hearing that. And I mean, with, you know, one of the conversations, well, in all the conversations I had yesterday, I mean, my caution was, you know, don't think we can make this up with tuition, because we can't. And, you know, they kind of all nod. A couple of them have students here, so they know.
I think the CPE will be cautious until resolution is final on a cut or not, or how much, because that could affect what cap they enact. So we'll track that. Just in by way of summary, as we look ahead to the budget process, this may have been more pertinent to the Finance and Budget Committee, but it's pertinent to everything we're talking about here going forward. And I just made a note on the minimum wage, because actually I had not thought so much about that one. But I can identify six things that all will have a cost impact on our budget, and only one positive revenue thing. But enrollment, you heard us talking about enrollment, that's yet to be determined, and we don't know yet whether that will have a positive or negative impact on the budget, so that's to be determined. The state cut, 2.5%, we know what that will be at worst for us, and we'll see if we can improve on that. That's $1.8 million. The KERS mandate with the governor's support, I think that will probably stay in the budget, but who knows at this point.
I never predict that stuff.
But that was a $1.3 million to the good, but it still leaves us and about $800,000 shy of we'll still have to cover the balance, which as best we can tell at this point will be about $800,000 to the negative. Fixed cost increases anywhere from $3 to $4 million, give or take. We're trying to get a handle on that right now. Compensation and benefits probably will be something in the $3 million range, yet to be determined. So you start, and the minimum wage, $400,000. So you start adding those things up, and you're up over $10 million in new expenses or things we have to fund. Layered against a tuition increase that is not likely to be much. It will be modest. Last year was 3%. It will probably be in that range this year, depending on the cut scenario. So, you know, you got about a, give or take, a $5 million revenue opportunity with a tuition increase against $10 million in expenses in really round numbers. And am I too far off? So, therein lies our challenge, and it's just, I think it's important for this board to know that we'll have budget reduction strategies that we'll have to employ going into this next budget year in order to have a balanced budget. That's going to be an inevitability regardless of whether the 2.5 cut remains or not.
Right, and obviously we had, and I, you know, they don't usually describe me as being the optimist, but I'll be honest with you. 2 months ago, I really didn't see a budget cut coming. I mean,
in the state budget.
In the state budget, I anticipated the state budget would be flat. I certainly did not anticipate that we would have any increases. But very disappointed to see, you know, that it included a cut to us. I appreciate the efforts to include some other things that are, I guess, accrue to our benefit. But you know, I think that's a disappointment for a lot of folks, not, you know, who support higher education as well. They really do want to try to help us with that. So we'll do the best that we can do, and I know they will also. So it is a challenge, and you know, I guess since about 2006, maybe 2004, this has sort of been the lay of the land. I mean, every 2 years, and some years in the off year as well, I mean, we find ourselves battling budget reductions, budgets. We haven't had a capital project funded since 2006. But it's just the measure of the challenge and the way it is today. It's reality. So I hope you have something happier after
me. One of the other presidents and I had a conversation at the governor's address that we're in the midst of what appears to be a lost decade for higher education in Kentucky. And that's a pretty good way to sum it up, and that's really unfortunate. The good news for us is we've been able to weather that relatively well and continue to march on with progressive things we're doing and really strengthened academic quality, and so we will continue to do just that.
It's just the first inning. We have a ways to go. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Robin. Next item, the development calendar year-end report.
Catherine?
It's really difficult to follow the numbers we're talking about. I have a little bit of good news. And a couple of points that I hope will help. Nobody gives money to replace state budget dollars, so we're going to be able to get people to agree to do that. But we do have opportunities. Bucks for Brains, once again, gets funded even at a small level. That will be a tremendous incentive. And personally, I'm very concerned about the fact that while we do well in scholarship fundraising, we do not have enough endowment support for faculty and academic programs. Mm-hmm. That would help in these bad times, not to replace state budget dollars, but to allow some things to go forward. Right. So we're very excited about the fact that that's included as a talking point. The first 6 months of this fiscal year, we raised $9 million. That's pretty much on pace. Actually, it's a little over $9 million. Pretty much on pace with where we've been, which is somewhere around $17 or $18 million a year. Two good things are happening this year that we hope will ratchet that up. For the first time, we'll have three people out on the road doing what we call leadership annual gift fundraising, which means asking people face-to-face for those $1,000 gifts. We had those three people in the lead-up to the Augustine Alumni Center, but the only thing they could raise money for, because we needed the money so badly, was the Augustine Alumni Center. Now, it's there, functioning well, and we hope that this will get more people out in face-to-face visits, which yields better results in getting people to start making donations and to kind of ratchet up. The other thing that you'll hear about later in the spring, because of the Alumni Center, we now have an opportunity to relook at alumni programming. Most of our programming in the past was built in trying to get the communities and get people together, often largely around athletic events or athletic things. We'll still do some of that. But now we have a chance to look at young alums and say, what do you really care about? And we're hearing career connections, not just continuing education, but ways to use our alumni connections to help us in our lives. So alumni programming is really looking at how to use this center as a way to do very different kind of alumni programming in addition to the traditional things we've done. The belief being that to keep that next generation so that the next time there's a budget crunch, the private fundraising is going to be there to help sustain the university's quality. So we're doing a lot of new things, and you'll be hearing about that later. I'll ask for time sometime in the future for Rick Bowes to come and give you a kind of an overview of what they're doing. $9 million in hand, everybody busy fundraising. We hope for Bucks for Brains, because I really think that was one of the biggest reasons for the success of the earlier campaigns. The Bucks for Brains program inspired people think about giving to endowment, which is still a new concept for many people in Kentucky. So that's it, unless you have a question.
Well, I have a comment on the Bucks for Brains, and specifically about the professorships. I do think that is a heck of an opportunity for us to focus. We are doing an excellent job at scholarship. We can always add more to that, but I'm not too sure that we as a group could not target that block of funds and say this will go toward our professional designations of our faculty. And I personally have had
with friends and clients, that has been a tremendous opportunity to be able to do that, specifically for someone who has the capital to look at the department or the area of concentration that they graduated in or that they have an interest in. And we've got several departments that don't have the level of endowed professors that they need. And I think
if I could wish for something for this university as well as you've done over these 6 years and under Gary's leadership in particular, if you could endow one or two colleges, the endowment would not replace state funding, but if you could endow them so that you have what I call opportunity money, innovation funds, ways that in the worst of times you have money to continue to excel. And if you could endow departments that are large enough that you have the constituency to do it, that one thing, in addition to just any academic endowment, would set this institution apart from all the others like it around the country and even in the state. So I'm hopeful that we can focus a lot. As we do well in scholarship fundraising. That's something our constituents understand. But what will it be like in 25 years if we have all these scholarships and we cannot recruit and keep the best faculty? We don't have innovation money to do new things in our academic departments. So I'm a big proponent of the fact that we need to focus on that, and we'll be doing that along with the president and others.
So crucial
to try to make that a priority for the future.
It's the original so Buckshire Brains funding was solely for endowed faculty positions. It's been opened up to include scholarships and other things, but we have stayed true to the original intent, and we've only used our matching funds for endowed faculty positions, although it's been now half a dozen years, maybe 8 years, since any funding has been forthcoming for that particular concept.
But it has a ripple effect. For those of you who haven't seen how that flows through the budget, if a department has an endowed professorship, that brings money. I mean, it brings prestige to the department. It brings a wonderful faculty member in, but it also brings money to your college-based budget. And, you know, that's one of the things that deans use to keep things afloat in difficult times, that and the DLO distribution. I mean, that has been so, so crucial. Those two things have made difficult years more palatable.
Well, that was at the core of our first two campaigns. We now have about 40 endowed professorships, not as many chairs, which require a $2 million endowment, but we just dedicated the Gruelich chair yesterday and had a presentation from the new faculty member holding the Gruelich chair in engineering, and that's the fifth. Two fully endowed chairs and three professorships in engineering. It makes a big difference.
We have some plan gifts that will help expand that. One other just brief sort of a trivial bit of information. We now have 977 people who are Cherry Society members. That means 977 people who have cumulatively given more than $25,000 to the university. That's the base for some future larger fundraising, and we hope that that will continue. And we welcome anyone who isn't a member of the Cherry Society to work toward it. Thanks.
Thank you, Catherine. We're going to take about a 5 or 10 minute break before we go into closed session.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I will. So, do we do this before? Because I would like to make a motion that the board go into closed session as provided in KRS 61.81. for the following discussions, and that is the discussion of proposing or pending litigation against and on behalf of the university.
Accept that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
I would ask that Deborah Wilkins stay, please.
We will now take the short break. You can be back in 10 minutes. Then after we'll give notice when we go back into open session, and we'll reconvene in open session to complete the agenda.